It's always good to remember thoughts like that. Amen. Someone is praying. You say, oh, nobody's praying for me. You might be surprised. Amen. Well, great thought, great truth. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, would you go with me, please, to the book of John, chapter number 11 in your Bibles today. The book of John and chapter number 11. I'm going to try to keep this message as concise as possible because I know that nachos are on your mind. Amen. Imagine being a preacher knowing you're battling nachos on people's minds. Amen. Can you imagine? Put yourself in my shoes. Amen. It's going to be a good time afterwards. Amen. Wonderful passage of Scripture that I want to read to you this morning and give you what I believe God told me out of this passage of Scripture for you today. John chapter number 11. Let's begin with verse number 1 in this passage of Scripture. And we'll read through verse number 26. So follow along this morning as I read this passage. John 11, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says there, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he'd heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today. Thank you for the blessings that you provide all of us every day. And I pray this morning that you take each one of our hearts today and just meet our needs. Lord, we pray through thy word. for that hurting heart, for that broken heart, for that one who's in need or perhaps bewildered, maybe some trouble or difficulty has entered into their life. God, I pray thy word of God would meet their need today. Lord, I pray most of all for that one today who is lost, does not know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray today that you'd save them before it's eternally too late. Reach into their heart and mind, we pray, and show them of their great need to be saved, I pray. And we pray you'll bless this moment, this hour, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's a simple but wonderful story that is given to us and recorded for us in the Bible. There were three siblings here in the story, two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They lived in a town called Bethany. And Bethany was a place that Jesus and his disciples would come through and back and forth on a regular basis in the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. And while he was there, he had met these three siblings, and going back and forth as he traveled, he really got close to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had equally become known and close to him, and so they built a bond together. And Mary, Martha, and Joseph would have Jesus in their home. And we know that there is a story pre-recorded in here where Mary had opened a box of alabaster ointment, a very expensive ointment, and she had put it on him. And we know the value of that ointment was over a year's worth of wages. And she had taken that ointment and poured it over Jesus' head. And if you remember the story, the disciples, especially Judas Iscariot, he did not like that. He said, you should have taken that ointment and sold it and given the money to the poor. And but see, she was doing something special that could not be done after Jesus had died. And so she wanted the opportunity to do something for Jesus. And that story tells us of this bond, this closeness that Jesus had with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were very close. And I don't think Scripture records any other relationship that Jesus was this close or this bonded to than Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Well, now the story tells us that Lazarus becomes sick. He is sick, and word goes from someone to Jesus, and Jesus finds out that Lazarus is sick. And rather than Jesus just jumping and leaving everything that he did something very unusual. Now, again, don't forget how tight and how close in a bond that they were. But Jesus did something different that I want you to notice here in verse number 6. And look with me what it says. It says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now, you say, what's interesting about that verse? What's interesting about that verse is Jesus remained there where he was an additional 2 days. He did not go and heal Lazarus' sickness, but he allowed Lazarus in those 2 days to die. Now again, don't forget that they were very close. Jesus loved Lazarus. He was very close to Lazarus, and he knew that Lazarus' death would break the heart of Mary and Martha. Jesus knew this. So why is it that Jesus had this power to heal him, but yet he postponed his visit to him, allowing him to die, and then 2 days later, he came back. You know, it reminds me in the Bible, in the day and age in which we live, of how many people really misunderstand Jesus and who he is and what he was. A lot of people misunderstand Jesus, and they don't really understand what Jesus is trying to accomplish and what Jesus is doing. They don't understand a lot about the Lord Jesus, and because of that, so many people reject him and put him off in their life when he really truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the story reveals more about why Jesus did what he did. And we see that when Jesus finally comes to Judea, and he finally comes into the house of Mary and Martha, that Lazarus is already dead. And they say to Jesus, "Jesus, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, where were you? Were you absent from your love for him? We sent word to you, but it's too late now. He's dead." But I want to show you that Mary and Martha had still an amazing, matchless faith in Jesus, that they knew that Jesus could do anything. And they revealed that to Jesus in verse 21, when it says here, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know," you see her faith? "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Now, I want you to notice that her faith in Jesus did not even waver, even though Lazarus was dead. Can I tell you something? Jesus is all-powerful. Jesus is God. Jesus can do anything. And oftentimes, what lacks in our life is our faith in God, in what he could do. You know, perhaps we have that relative or that friend who just drifts away from God, and we think they'll never trust Christ. They'll never be saved. They'll never come around. Can I tell you what? God can do anything. God can do anything. You say, "Preacher, I find myself often in a hopeless situation. I lose hope. I get defeated. I get depressed. What in the world?" I want to remind you of something. Though Lazarus was dead, it was not a problem to the Lord Jesus. And oh, I want to tell you something. Oftentimes in our lives, we get defeated and discouraged, and it's because we are not recognizing who Jesus is. And we relegate Jesus to some figure far off. I'm going to tell you something. He's the God of the universe. There is nothing that is impossible with God, and we ought to trust him, put our faith in him, and believe that he is God. And this kind of faith is the faith that we need in our life. So the story goes on. She says, "I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you." Verse 25, Jesus says unto her something amazing. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Yet shall he live. You know, I want to give you three thoughts, actually four thoughts today, about what this passage means to us and to apply it personally in our life. Number one, I want you to know Jesus wants to be close to you. Jesus wants to be close to you. Can I tell you, oftentimes in our life we wander and we drift from God. That's not God's desire. God wants to be close to you. And really, when we're not close to God, it's because we're going a different direction. We're not yielded to him. We're not yielded to his desires and will for our life. We're doing our own thing in life. And isn't it funny? Jesus follows us in life. Because he wants to be close to us. He wants us to be close to him. I ask you today, how close are you to Jesus today? How close are you? Are you close? Are you so close to God that you know that even if he does something you don't understand, that God is going to be there? That God is going to be close to you in life? Do you know that? Do you know that it will be like that in your life? Because he will. He will. We do have a nursery. If you'd like to make the child available to the nursery, you're sure welcome to do that. Hope you will. But I say to you this morning, God wants to be close to you. God wants to be close to you. Did you know that? You say, oh, preacher, you don't understand. I've done things in life. God does not want to be close to me. Oh, yes, he does. God wants to be close to you. He wants to be so close to you that you and I know very well and very easily that he's right there. That he's right there. How close are you to God today? Are you living a life where you're dividing yourself from Jesus? Or if Jesus came and knocked on your door today, and would you welcome him into your home? Would you be like Lazarus and Mary and Martha? Would you want Jesus in your life? A lot of people don't want Jesus in their life. But that's what Jesus desires. He wants to be close to you. How close are you to God today? How close are you to God? I think many things in our life go astray, and many things in our life unwind and unravel because God has to let things unravel in our life to get us to see how close he wants to be to you. Hey, I want to tell you, don't allow God to unravel things in your life before you wake up and realize that he wants to be close to you. Because God knows oftentimes what it will take to draw us to him. You say, preacher, you're saying things that may not be very good. If it brings you close to God, those troubles and trials that you and I have to go through, that's the purpose of them, is to bring us close to God. I can tell you story after story of preachers whose lives were running from God, going this direction, going that way. And God came down to their life and literally shook up their life because they were going the wrong direction. And in the middle of that, they recognized, I'm not as close to God as I ought to be. And I say to you today, if you're not close to God, get close to him. Don't let anything hinder you today from your close relationship with God. Treasure it, cherish it, and enjoy it. Because it's meant to be the most powerful relationship in our life when you get close to God. Are you close to God today? Maybe God would speak to you. Maybe there's some area of your life that you say, I want God to stay out of. Can I tell you, that's the area God wants to get in. God wants to be a part of your life from the beginning to the end. And God, you have to let God do that. So Jesus wants to be close to you. Do you realize Jesus wanted to be close to Mary and Martha? But they had to welcome him in, didn't they? And I want to say to you today, the key in our life is to welcome God into our life, every facet, every trial, every turmoil, every negative thing. Let God take control of your life. That's the lesson of Lazarus. Now let me say, secondly, God wants to be glorified in your life. God wants to be glorified in your life. Look at verse 4. Notice what it says. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. God wants to use your life to bring glory to God. That is why He created you. That is why you and I exist in this life. We don't exist to build up a big bank account and have great things in life. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not why He made us. He made us to glorify Him. He made us to honor Him. He made us to look to Him and say, Lord, shine through me in my life so that I can give my life to you. Oh, we need that. I heard a story about a man who was walking by a convertible at a 7-Eleven, and he wanted God to use him. And he took a gospel track, and as he was walking by that convertible car, he just dropped the track in the seat of the car. When the owner of the car got back, she saw that gospel track. She was there to make a drug deal inside the 7-Eleven. And when she came out, she saw the gospel track, and she became incensed. She grabbed the track, threw it, and ripped it up, threw it on the ground. She even stomped it, and she spat on it. I mean, she was throwing a fit at the 7-Eleven gas pump. Well, the store clerk saw what was going on and called the police and said, there's a lady out there. She's gone off. Something's wrong. And the police were nearby, and they came by, and they drove by the lady's car, and they said, ma'am, I don't know what your problem is. And she realized, because she was there for a drug deal, and she realized, uh-oh, the police are here. And the officer said, I don't know what your problem is, but you better pick up your trash, get it back in your car, and be on your way. Yes, sir. She grabbed up the dirty spat on track, got in her car. She went home. She got home. She told the story to her family members about how some crazy man left a gospel track in her car, and she got so mad. She spat on it and stomped it. How dare those religious people share their beliefs with us? And the mother of this girl said, well, I can't understand why you would get so mad over a piece of paper. Let me see that piece of paper. She took that gospel track, uncrinkled it, took the dirt off, and began to read it. And there at her home, her mother, who was also a drug dealer, trusted Christ as her Savior. Her brother was sitting at the table also, and her brother said, what in the world? You've got something different. Let me read that. Her brother took the track. Her brother read that gospel track, and he got saved. He put his faith in Christ. And because the two got saved, the other girl, who didn't even give a care about what the words of it were, she began to read that gospel track, and she too got saved. And through that illustration and through that one gospel track, they began to tell all their friends, who were all drug dealers, about how Jesus had saved them. And that Sunday, over 39 drug dealers came to church, sat in that place. I want to tell you something. God can do anything through anyone who wants to be glorified by Him. See, God wants to be glorified in your life. But you have to surrender those things in life that are not pleasing to Him so that He can be glorified in you and in your life. Is God glorified in your life? Is God glorified in your life? Thirdly, Jesus wants to make you whole. He wants to make you whole. Notice verse number 25. I like what Jesus said here. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, notice those words, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you know that the Bible describes an unsaved person as a dead person? Did you know that? An unsaved person is spiritually dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, that's what sin does to us, and we're all sinners. Sin relegates us dead. Well, what do we do about that? Jesus said these words, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And these words were not just spoken to Mary. These words are given to all of us when he said, he that believeth on me, whoever believes on me, does not have to be dead, but can be raised again. You see, I'm telling you today, God wants to make you whole again. And if you're here today and you're unsaved, you may not understand it, but you are spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead. I remember when I got saved, things were just kind of natural and boring and dull. But when I got saved, something changed in my mind. And it was really life, a new life. And Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And through his death, proving that he could be raised again, he was demonstrating to us who are dead in sins that we could be raised again also and be saved forever. I'm saying to you today, God wants to make you whole. He wants to make you whole. You've never been saved here before. You've never trusted Christ. It doesn't matter what you're trusting in. You're still dead. You're still dead. You need Christ to come into your life and save you, so that you can experience real life. You say, I don't understand how that happens. Well, when God comes in and cleanses us from all of our sin, past, present, and future, buries it in the deepest sea, he doesn't look at us as a sinner anymore. He looks at us clothed in his righteousness. What a powerful place to be, clothed in his righteousness. Oh, friend, today, don't wander from God. Don't continue a path that leaves you away from God. Come to him. Come to him and open your heart and ask him to make you whole again. Lazarus, it doesn't matter if you're dead or not. I can raise you from the dead. And I want to tell you, God can save anybody. There's no sin too far that you've done that God cannot forgive. There is only one sin that is totally unpardonable for an almighty God, and that one sin is to live a life and reject the love of God to be saved and trust him. That is the one unpardonable sin. So don't commit that one unpardonable sin, but God is willing to save anybody who comes to him. Amen. That's a promise we can hold to. But now, let's get back to this question. Why Jesus waited 2 days? Why did Jesus wait 2 days and allow Lazarus to die in that grave, when all he could have said is, Lazarus, stay alive? Why did Jesus do things that way? Well, I want you to go to a part of the passage that we haven't read yet. And I want you to skip over, if you would, here to verse number 42. Now, Jesus heals him. We know the story is he comes to the grave. They open the stone. Lazarus' body has been in the grave for 4 days already. His body's beginning to decompose already. And so Jesus comes to him and he says, Lazarus, arise. Guess what Lazarus did? He didn't stay where he was. He didn't stay in that grave. Oh, Lazarus got up. And in Bible days, they would take a body and they would wrap them with scents and perfumes and spices, things like that for the body, and they would wrap them in the body. And he was wrapped in that. Guess what? It didn't stop him. He got up from that grave and walked out. Woo! I'll tell you what, that's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of a lost man who's undone. He's lost in his sins. All of a sudden, Jesus says, I forgive your sins. Get up, walk. You see, you and I are spiritually lame. Spiritually lame before we're saved. But when we're saved, God says, rise up. I want to give you new life. New life is given to us in Christ. And Lazarus got up that day and he began to walk. But here's what happened. Everybody around him, all the Jews, and by the way, the disciples didn't want Jesus to go there and do that because the Jews hated him. You remember that when we read that? But now Jesus is doing this for the purpose, that they would see what he does. And I want you to notice what the passage says. Notice it says in verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always because of the people which stand by. I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Now here's the kicker, verse 45. Then many of the who? The Jews, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. That's why Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. That's why he didn't just rush to him. He knew it wasn't a problem for him to raise him from the dead. But he said, there's some lost people. There's some lost people who need to see what I can do for them. There's some people who don't believe in me. There's some people who don't know that I am God. And I want to go show them that I too can bring them everlasting life. So Jesus delayed 2 days, allowed Lazarus to die, not because he was a mean, cruel God, but because he wanted to show all those who did not believe in him, what he could do for them. Oh, Christian, I want to tell you something. Do you realize of all the things that God has done so that you might hear the gospel and be saved? Do you realize that God established a church 2,000 years ago? It's gone through persecution. It's gone through trials and troubles. It's gone through much difficulty. But God's maintained his church because there's a message in it. And the message is a message of life. And that life says, though you are dead in trespasses and sins, God can save you and make you whole again. Many believed in him. So the question for you today is, do you realize all of what God has done so that you can hear the gospel and be saved? Oh, wouldn't it be a horrible shame? Wouldn't it be a horrible shame if tomorrow you passed away, you died, but you were lost? You were lost. And all that God has done for you to be saved, you put it off and didn't recognize it. Wouldn't it be a horrible shame for you to spend an eternity away from God in a hell forever and ever without Christ in your heart? That would be a shame. Because see, God plans a lot of the things that he does with the lost man in mind. He does a lot of things that he does with the lost man in mind. And friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, would you recognize that God's done so much in preparation so that that message can be sent to you? And all you got to do is receive Him and trust Him. And this morning in the invitation, you can do that very thing. You can open your heart. You can be saved and know Christ. Would you do that this morning? Would you put your faith in Him? Let's do what God would want us to do today. Let's bow our heads this morning.